99-799. Again, text CASH to 99-799.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John's engineering and producing the show. Together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, May 10th, 2022, in our 12th year here with the radio project. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Call letters are KVOI. The voice, we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Judy Lowe joins us. Judy is the interim CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Judy, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Judy, we've got home prices continuing to soar across the country. This is despite the rise in the interest rates. What's the situation? Give us the overview. How are things looking here on the Tucson market?
Well, the Tucson market, Bill, is just right in line with what's going on nationally. I just got back from the National Association of Realtors meetings in Washington, D.C., and heard what's going on across the country. But here in Tucson, we're seeing that median sales price in April went up 17.1%. So our median sales price, that's half of the sales were above and half were below, was right around $375,000 for a single-family residence. Days on the market increased, however, and the days actually increased about 6.3%, and we're seeing an increase in our supply. We were way down at 1 month supply, and it's increasing. It's up to a 2 month supply on the market right now. So yes, it is a very active market, exciting time to be exposed to Tucson real estate, especially in the housing market here.
Judy, let me go back to that 17% increase in the median home price. Would that be year to year, Judy?
That was month over month. We just compared the prior month to the current month, and that's what we saw in that.
Well, that seems like a huge increase, but
well, it was, and it probably would mean that our luxury homes are beginning to impact that.
What about the bidding wars that were going on? We talked with someone, we've talked every quarter with someone from Tucson Association of Realtors, and the last quarter, the bidding wars were happening. Are they still going on, but maybe not as much, Judy?
They've slowed down, but very, very slightly. I heard instance yesterday, the property was just listed 3 days ago. They held it open the next day. They had about 50 people through, and they have received 10 offers on that property just within the last 24 hours.
10 offers? Wow.
10 offers. Many of them are cash offers. Mm. You know, Tucson is still one of the prime locations to be seeing an increase in migrants coming from California and having sold a big home there, have all cash, and they're coming here and making offers in our marketplace.
So at least for now, home prices and interest rates can soar at the same time, which kind of might be sort of counterintuitive. But so right now you don't see the rising interest rates putting the brakes on selling prices?
It doesn't seem to be. It is a concern. I think that right now we're looking at an overall housing market that is still very active, very strong, but everyone is feeling a little cautious. We don't want our great times to be replaced with a bad time, but they can be replaced with good times. I like to say that we're seeing some headwinds, like you said, the interest rates. However, good times are still rolling.
You know, this story came across today. It was on the news where Moody's Analytics rated three housing markets here in Arizona among the country's most overvalued: Lake Havasu City, Flagstaff, and Phoenix. Phoenix has really been out of sight, hasn't it, Judy?
Yes, they have. You know, I just came home to Tucson. I had been in Phoenix as the commissioner of the Arizona Department of Real Estate. And watching what's going on in Maricopa County is unbelievable compared to what's going on in Tucson. It's still unbelievable in Maricopa County.
When were you then the commissioner of Arizona in real estate?
For the past 13 years, Jan Brewer appointed me when Arizona was going through hard times, Bill, in 08 and 09. Doug Ducey reappointed me, and then when he was reelected, reappointed me again.
Well, you've certainly seen in that 13-year period a tremendous growth, right, in this market?
Huge amount of growth, and in Arizona's economy. We're leading all the other states in the strength of our Arizona economy, not just around housing, but all of the other areas that the economic picture is based on.
Judy, what are the real hot areas for in a very warmed up market? Are there some particular areas of the Tucson Valley that jump off the charts as far as really moving prices?
Well, our northwest area. However, you know, new construction is just booming off the charts. Not to say that we don't need it, because we really do have a housing shortage, so to speak, in southern Arizona. When you look at what the needs are compared to what the availability of properties are, the new construction can help that availability. So we're seeing lots of our buyers being attracted to the new home developments.
And they're coming mainly from California and the Chicago area. Is that what you're hearing?
Midwest, California, going up the coast, the West Coast, Washington, Oregon. Not so much as you move inland, but the coastal migration is very strong.
And it's because people can really work anywhere, can't they, remotely now?
That's right. And think about the difference in the housing costs, all of the incentives that drive that coastal buyer or that Midwest buyer to Arizona. Our weather in the wintertime for that Midwest buyer. Coastal, I think it's to get away from the pressures of California.
All right, Judy Lowe, thank you for joining us. You are the interim CEO at the Tucson Association of Realtors, and for the past 13 years, Arizona's commissioner of real estate. Judy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks for all you do for real estate in southern Arizona.
Well, thank you very much. All right, we'll take a break right here. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio. Shelley, giving me a big thumbs up. But before we go to the break, I do want to mention Mona's Danish Bakery. We could always use a Mona's right about now. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. They are open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's opens for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday at 6:30. Steve, the owner and chief baker, gets there a lot earlier than 6:30, but he's ready to open the doors, and so are a lot of patrons. Find out why people wait in line for the Mona's to open. I think you'll solve the question when you go in and look at the bakery case loaded with goodies. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Be right back with Shelley Fishman. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And it's a wacky Tuesday, as usual, on the market. Shelley Fishman joining us now. Shelley, Tuesday the market was up over 500 points, and literally within like minutes, not maybe not a few minutes, but within an hour anyway, the market went south and into the red.
It did, and now it's basically flat on the Dow, a little bit north on the S&P, and really doing well on the NASDAQ. This is just one of the most volatile and uncertain markets I've ever seen. We are definitely in what I think you would call a bear market right now.
Mm-hmm.
The usually accepted definition of a bear market is a 20% drop from recent highs. We're there in most of the indices. We've passed on one or two of the indices. But the economy doesn't feel like we're in a bear market. I mean, the last time we were in a bear market, not counting the brief episode at the beginning of the pandemic.
Which only lasted a few months.
Exactly. Yep. But, you know, back in 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. when the market was anticipating real problems in the real estate industry and some real problems in the economic performance during the Bush administration.
Obvious signs that there was big
obvious
trouble.
Signs, clearly.
This is different.
This is different. We have a very good economy.
Yeah.
And here now we see what appear to be definite signs from the market, which again is forward-looking, that faith that the economy will continue to grow, if not as fast as it has in the past year or two, at least at an acceptable pace. The market is sending signals right now that what the Fed is doing is going to affect corporate profits.
Yes.
And those corporate profit reductions in corporate profits will have an effect on stock prices. And so that's really what's going on right now. And in some segments of the economy more than others. So for instance, high-tech sectors are having trouble supplying their factories with stuff they buy, say, from China, because China has shut down cities. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they've shut down factories. Millions of people in China are not working. As a result, the industries that rely on, say, printed circuit boards are having trouble getting their supply. And as a result, they can't produce what they produce. Now, the good news is the Russians can't make tanks.
Yeah. You know,
the bad news is we can't make Caterpillar trucks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and tractors and that kind of thing. So what we're seeing is a great deal of uncertainty. It's not the kind of uncertainty that we're used to seeing. And so people, I think, are beginning to come to the conclusion that this really is unusual. And we can't predict what's going on. And so I think the market is reacting to that.
And some of these opinions, Shelley,
okay.
from the financial analysts, they are literally all over the charts.
All over the charts.
You can't seem to please anybody on this. I mean, the drop, part of the drop, I understand today, was they were looking through the minutes of maybe what Powell had said, that there might actually have to be more than a half percent.
Yeah, I
maybe
think it
up
wasn't
to three
Powell. I think it was one of the Fed.
One of the, they go
Atlanta
through all the, you know, these minutes.
Yeah.
And that would be too scary if it went 0.75 points. But then there are other analysts who say the last, a week ago, the half percent should have been more. You cannot please everybody.
Well, you can't please me. I thought the half percent should have been 0.25%.
Well,
I think the Fed is somewhat overreacting. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Right now, the average increase in hourly earnings
mm-hmm.
Is at around 5.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So inflation, if you will, or greater leverage that employees have over their employers has resulted in an increase in about 5.5% in wages. Inflation in that same period is running about 6.1%. So, you know, even if you take, and these are ranges, even if you take the broadest range, you got about a full percentage
yep.
point difference between average annual raises in salaries and average costs
mm-hmm.
of things that you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it matters where you are, where you mm-hmm. work, and what you buy. But, you know, if you just take a look at the aggregate, you know, inflation is affecting people by about 1%. You're going to, you know, moan and groan. I almost said something I shouldn't have said.
Oh,
you're
going to so
moan
John
and groan.
John had his finger on the button there, but no,
so
go ahead.
So if you're going to complain about a 1% increase in your average costs,
mm-hmm.
then you've got some other things motivating your desire to be unhappy.
Mm.
Now, you know, for some people, the increase in costs is felt much, much, much higher than that. In fact, the New York Times, I think it's today, it might have been yesterday, published on their electronic edition an inflation calculator that asks about seven questions about you and your buying habits and your household, and based upon those buying habits, was able to tell you what your in actual inflation experience has been over the past couple of months. And for instance, if you bought a new home, or if you bought a new car, or if you commute to work by a gas-powered, you know, car, that could be up as high as 9%. But if you don't do any of that stuff, it could be as low as 3 or 4%. So each individual has to make those decisions. But right now, we have an economy that is still doing very, very well. I just, you know, pulled a number here that for households below $50,000 a year, and that's been the most vulnerable set of households.
Which is below the national poverty line.
No, it depends on how many people in the household, I think. But for households below $50,000 a year have doubled their savings since the beginning of the pandemic. Now, that's kind of an awesome statement. Now, it's I believe it's been calculated by one of the big banks, based upon 67 million customers that they've taken a look at. But, you know, we've talked about the excess of cash in this economy and the fact that people have money and are willing to spend it if they can find the goods that they want and need. But that, I think, is a very focused kind of way of thinking about this, that if you are in the lower echelon, if you will, of earners, as a household, you, on average, your savings have doubled in the past 2.5 years.
And the New York Times also had an article about up until this market downturn, there were a lot of people, newly minted millionaires, that have come out of this, come out of this stock market.
We don't care a lot about the newly minted millionaires. However, for tens of millions of Americans, the good times are right now. And whether or not you're a millionaire, but for people who, again, are not forced to deal with the worst parts of the inflated economy right now, this pandemic has been a godsend. This market, the stock market and bond market, it's bad. You know, we're down 22%.
The bad year.
Bad year. But if you take a look at the past 2 or 3 years, it's been a boom, even counting this 20% down now. So it is very hard to remember the longer term when you're feeling a little bit of pain, especially if that pain is in your monthly statements, you know, from your 401k. But I have taken a view of this that unless something fundamental has changed, that there's not a lot to worry about, assuming that your portfolio is properly allocated and you have the time to wait. If those things aren't true, then, you know, you need to talk to your financial advisor and get things fixed. But for most of us who are doing a pretty good job of maintaining the track that we're on, this past 4 or 5 months is something that we will look back on and say, what was I too worried about? Again, it's easy for me to say, Bill, but everything that I can see is showing, look, I mean, just on Friday, they announced 428,000 new jobs created.
Right.
You know, the president was on the air today touting his economic performance, and between flubs, because the guy is just not a great public speaker.
He's really struggling, I'll tell you.
He's struggling. Yeah. But the facts that are out there are really clear that the economy is doing okay. Now, we had a bad first quarter, and in some cases, and if the numbers that were published are correct, we might even have had some contraction in the first quarter. But on balance, we have had higher GDP growth over the past 2 years than we've had in decades. And so even if the GDP were to slow down from its current 5.6% down to 2%, 2% during most of the Trump years was considered pretty good. Mm-hmm. And through most of the Obama years was considered pretty good, and was a lot better than we got most of the Bush years, you know, from 2002 on. So, you know, let's put this in perspective. You know, the results today are not very good. The results over the week have been frighteningly bad.
Yes.
In the markets. The bond market is doing slightly better, and it is signaling concern as well.
Mm-hmm. But which is unusual, the bond market going down and the stock market, because the bond market in a properly allocated portfolio is your backstop.
Absolutely.
So this again is a weird situation.
But then again, when you have the Fed raising rates,
yeah,
that's going to affect the bond market in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happening. Understanding that we have inflation that needs to be controlled by the Fed, you now have the bondholders getting a little bit alarmed that the value of their bonds, even counting interest rates that are stamped on the bond. So if you bought a 1% bond, and that same bond, if it were issued today, would have 2% stamped on it, then you worry about that investment you have. So this is a time where you really need expertise. You really need to be calm. You need to be working with your advisor to make sure that you don't do something really dumb.
That's the best advice right there. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. I will not see you for a couple of weeks because we're off for an anniversary trip to Hawaii next week.
As I said, there are people who are doing just fine.
Well, no, it's a big occasion. It's
sure,
it's a milestone.
50 years.
Well,
that's great.
Well, we'll take a break right here. Go. Thanks, Shelley.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. What a perfect time of year to go over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, beautifully filled with every imaginable plant that you can think of, and all the beautiful Talavera pottery from Mexico. It's all part of their business that they have on site called Zocalo Village Green Things in their 51st year. Open daily. Their website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Great place to go to get some color in your garden and hopefully some plants that will survive this just incredible drought we're having. In fact, the people at Green Things can steer you in the right direction. They are so knowledgeable, and they will tell you the kind of plants that will make it up until, hopefully, we get a very robust monsoon. Bill Spurbeck joins me now in studio. Bill is the creator, he's the founder, he's the owner of a business called CPR2U, a very successful business here about that really brings CPR to so many people in this community. Bill, always a pleasure to see you, sir.
I see you, Bill. It's been a year.
Yeah, it has. And we like to bring you on the program as temperatures really warm up and people are, you know, thinking about the swimming pool. How are we doing, Bill, in kind of getting the word out about CPR? What's your overview?
Every year we see an increase, and there's multiple reasons for that. One reason being the availability of it. Two, social media really has this kind of in the forefront when something happens. And then, of course, the media. And then, as we were discussing before the show, I think it's been 6 or 7 years ago, they passed a law, the Arizona legislature, saying that in order to graduate high school, you have to take a CPR course.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's a mandatory requirement.
Yep.
Is that something that's becoming more common in every state? Or
When we got it passed, again, it's 6 or 7 years ago, we were the 38th state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been out there, and I really haven't looked since then as far as, I'm sure there's been some additional states with it, but it's really the right thing to do. I, you know, as a paramedic now of 39 years, I always end a lot of my sayings with the CPR save lives, and it truly does. I was up at a local resort last week, kind of touring, and they actually, 2 weeks prior to that, they actually had a guest go into cardiac arrest, and I got to watch the whole event through cameras.
Really?
It was pretty interesting that, yeah, within probably 15 seconds, staff started compressions, they got the AED, the fire department arrived pretty quickly, and the gentleman, he was from back east, actually survived the event, so wow. That just shows the quicker we initiate CPR, the better the end results are.
So you spent almost 40 years as a paramedic?
Yeah, I still keep my certification. My goal is I want to be the first 50.
So you're a current paramedic.
Yeah. So my goal is I want to be the first 50-year certified paramedic in the country.
Is there a shortage of paramedics?
Yes.
I mean, is that a field people want to go into?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Just,
okay.
Just talking to a battalion chief of Tucson Fire, and Tucson Fire's example is down 50 paramedics.
Wow.
So you come out and you become an EMT, a basic EMT, and then if you choose to go on to the advanced level of paramedic. But right now, just within the city limits, we're short 50 paramedics. And there's a one is that people are, you know, coming on the job, and in the past you'd stay 25, 30 years. Today they come, and in 2-3 years, oh, it's not for me type of thing. So there's a lot of different reasons behind the shortage. And I think it is a national shortage of paramedics.
So how did the company start CPR to you? How did you come up with this idea?
Started 12 years ago. I was an educator at Northwest Hospital. Saw a need for it because at the time, the only people really doing training, CPR training in the advanced courses were at the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really provide training for the outside community. It was strictly for their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the CEO of the Northwest Hospital and said, hey, you want to outsource my job? And I'll provide more training and more dates and day, evening, weekend. And so we started that. And we're doing around, between the basic and the advanced courses, about 15,000 students right now within Tucson.
15,000 have just...
Each year. Yeah, that was our number. We were just over 15,000 last year. I think this year, so far, it's trending that I think we'll break probably 17 or 18,000.
How does it work? A business will call you and say, come out and give the training? Or what?
Yeah, so there's multiple things. Mm-hmm. We have open enrollment classes at our facility,
mm-hmm.
where you go on, register, and come to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have businesses, medical businesses, all types of business, construction, these long-term rehab facilities, right? It's pretty amazing on the number of people that are required to have CPR training. Usually we think it's just healthcare professionals, but no, in order to coach Little League football or baseball, you got to have CPR first aid training.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And then so with that, what's nice about the business model is I always say it's not economic dependent, because there's always the people that are required to have it, and there's the part of the community that wants to take it because they have witnessed an incident, or they just had a newborn, or there's a reason why they want to get it.
So you're saying it's really, too, into the tourism industry, because you gave that example, you were out at a resort.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tourism people.
The employees up there, there's just over 200 of them that have to get it.
And are we seeing more of those? Are they defibrillators? Is that correct?
Yeah, the AEDs.
Yeah,
right?
Are we seeing more of those?
Oh,
yeah.
There's actually an app you can download called mm-hmm. Pulse Point. And right now, I think there's around 1,600 AEDs
mm-hmm.
that are loaded in the app around Tucson. So you witness event, push the app, it'll tell you where the closest AED's at.
Wow.
And then prices have come down. 5 years ago, they were a couple $1,000. You can buy one now for $500 or $600.
Hmm.
I was driving down Speedway a couple years ago, and somebody had not the baby on board, but AED on board.
Wow. We're speaking with Bill Spurbeck. Bill owns CPR to you. What's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
There's a couple different ways. They can go to our website, CPR2U.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at CPR2U. Our phone number, 520-400-8204. So there's a number of different ways to get us. And then, if like I mentioned, Bill, we partner up with KVOA every year.
Sure.
We're doing 4 classes a month, May, June, July, and August. They're free. They mm-hmm. can go to our website, click on the KVOA button, and we have families that come. We like to see the children at least 8 or 9 years old, but we actually get a family of 4 or 5 that come to that.
Have you noticed a drop in pool deaths among youngsters?
Yeah, the last couple of years, obviously with COVID, and even a year ago, right, our mm-hmm. quote-unquote get-together date was July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting this year is that we're going to have the large groups again at the swimming pools.
Sure.
And quite often, yes, every once in a while you'll get the toddler that gets out of the house
yeah.
and ends up in the pool. But yeah. quite often, I've been to a number of them, we'll go there and there's 20, 30 people, you know, typically yeah. alcohol involved, and somebody sure. drowns. And so it's going to be interesting now that we're finally getting... We're back, right? We're going to start the mass pool parties again this year.
So that's a real hazard, isn't it, when yep. you get a lot of people together and then little ones slip out,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We'd like to see somebody designated. That's the only job to do.
Have somebody designated, right?
Okay. Watch for it. But, yeah, I've been to a number of calls where you walk in and how'd this happen?
Yeah. What are some other quick things, Bill, that you would give parents advice? Just keep go ahead.
Okay, so obviously keeping the children in your sight.
Yes.
we do, you know, people do put these foolproof locks on our doors. Kids figure out how to get out on them. Another common event with drownings, again, like I said, the large party.
Yeah.
Or the parents say, hey, 10-year-old, you're in charge. Watch the kids.
Ooh.
Right, and the 10-year-olds then not they get out there on to watch
the
kids. So
they get on the device.
And yeah, the device, or they're in the pool swimming too.
Oh yeah,
wow. And the parents are inside the house, and it's going to be interesting because I was just talking to my sister. She's been in her pool now for 2 or 3 weeks because of the temperatures and
sure.
and stuff. So it's going to be an interesting summer.
All right, Bill Spurbeck, always a pleasure. We're longtime friends, and it's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, and we're healing partners.
We are healing. You had your accident with your arm 2 weeks after I had mine. Both of us have a one-year anniversary coming up. You're going to be going up to Alaska on a cruise, and we're going to Hawaii. But I think both of us will have this in common. We will be certainly watching every step we take. Yep. There you go. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
All right.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Take a road trip. You want to get away? Get in the car or truck and take a road trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, and we're going to be close to 100 degrees here in a few days. In fact, actually, I saw that weather forecast, 104 within the next 7 days. That's a really good time to get up to that mile-high elevation of Silver City, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And that's when we start to talk about the 10-degree guarantee. It will be cooler in Silver City because of that elevation. For more information about where to stay, some great places there, lots to do, including the Blues Festival, returning live over the Memorial Day weekend, go to southwestnewmexico.org. For her monthly visit now to the Buckmaster Show, Margaret Regan, who is the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly and also the author of two prize-winning books on immigration. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty darn well. And we're going to talk a little theater today. And there's a show that you want to see, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
I know. I'm very sad. Yeah, it's the Broadway in Tucson is playing Come From Away in the next couple of weeks. This is a show I've been waiting to see for at least 3 years and longer, but during COVID, I think it was scheduled to be here in Tucson 2 or 3 times, and then, you know, it couldn't happen. But unfortunately, I'm going to miss it this time because I'm going to a family reunion.
Oh, wow.
So one day I'll get to see it. But let me tell you about the show. It's very interesting. It comes from 9/11. And they say their slogan is, on 9/11, the world stopped. On 9/12, their stories moved us all. What happened was, you know, on 9/11, all the airplanes in the United States had to land.
Yep.
And a lot of them landed up in Newfoundland. They say that there were something like 7,000 stranded passengers going to the United States that landed in Newfoundland in Canada, and they were in a small town. And here's this little town, and all these people were just there, you know, and they did an amazing job of being so kind to people. People opened their homes. People gave them food. You know, it's really a wonderful story. And, you know, I wish I could go see it. I think everybody's going to enjoy it. This is what they say about it, that at first, you know, the cultures clashed and nerves ran high, but uneasiness turned into trust. Music soared into the night, and gratitude grew into enduring friendships. And I seem to remember, you know, this is all a true story, that the passengers, all those people who were held and, you know, cared for by the Canadians, they raised money for scholarships for the students in that town. They were just so grateful about how they were treated. And I guess there's wonderful music in the show, too. It has a best musical winner, you know, sometimes way back when this movie first came out.
You know, there's also a love story that came out of that, a true story that a couple met during the layover there, which was quite extended. I think it was a week or so, and they wound up getting married. And
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and they've come back on several occasions since then on milestone anniversaries to Newfoundland, and they have then, you know, they made so many wonderful friends. So it's a great story. There were dozens of transatlantic planes inbound to the United States that are coming back from Europe, and they all touched down there in far eastern Canada. Mm-hmm. It's a great story.
Yeah. Are you going to go see it?
Well, I don't know, but that sounds like maybe I've given myself a little pep talk to go see it there.
It sounds like it. I'm sure it will be busy.
How about Rogue Theater? We haven't talked about them in a while here on the show.
Yeah, I know, and I'm sorry about that. They have a show. This weekend is the last chance to go in person. Saturday and Sunday, although they do a nice thing. Like if you still don't want to go into a crowded venue, then you can get a video. They have these videos. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. It's called Mrs. Galloway, and it was written by Virginia Woolf. You know, she's part of the famous Bloomsbury writers in England, you know, earlier in the 20th century. And, you know, she's a really interesting and different kind of a writer. They say that it's been said that her novels were the first to split the atom in its elevation of mundane to the meaningful. So she wrote about great big things, and she wrote about little tiny things in our lives. And so Mrs. Galloway, I think the story is she's going out shopping, which doesn't sound that exciting. But, you know, with Virginia Woolf.
Virginia Woolf, yeah.
Yeah, with her abilities, you know, she made this really interesting thing. And the Rogue Theater is saying that it has been seen lately, this play, that Mrs. Galloway has seen a resurgence of interest because endemic life has seemed to make the same daily chores that she did and making it as an adventure. So people are getting more interested in this because of the pandemic. That's quite an interesting story, too.
Mrs. Galloway will be last chance to see it at the Rogue Theater May 14th and the 15th, and they do have a video available through June the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have time for maybe one or two others. You want to talk about visual arts, or do you want to mention a concert?
Well, how about the concert coming right up?
Okay.
Carla Bonoff, she's very popular. She's going to be performing this weekend, May 30th. That's a Friday night. And she plays piano. She has a highly regarded guitar player. And Linda Ronstadt has recorded a number of her songs, but she's a great artist herself. And what's really fun is the opening act is going to be Riso. That's the duo of Matt and Rebecca Rowland, who are local musicians in Tucson. They're wonderful. They're part of the founding members of Run Boy Run, which is a great band.
That's at the Burger Theater, and that one is going to be that's Friday night, 7:30.
Friday night, coming right up.
Lyle Lovett, among the shows in June at the Fox.
Right. There's quite a lot of big bands coming to Tucson. And that, Lyle Lovett's going to be June 15th, Amos Lee, June 14th, and Annie DeFranco, very popular, June 18th. So it looks like we're having a good summer here.
And we do have time to mention the Fox has a film festival. I guess, is this one going to be about documentary films that are made for young people?
Yeah. I don't know that much about it, but this is happening just now on Wednesday night. It's this thing called the La Pan Film Festival, and they try really hard to get young people to do movies and show them. So they're hoping to get some of this going in Tucson for the students here. You know, they're letting people know about it. So that could be interesting, too.
So where are you off to for this family reunion that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment?
Philadelphia.
Oh.
And I have not been in an airplane for 3 years.
Oh, boy.
So I'm a little bit, yeah. But now you ought to come because you're a Reagan. I know that.
Yeah, that's right. It.
We'd love to have you.
I'm certainly a Reagan from mom's side of the family. That's for sure. Back from Ireland. So, yeah, part of the old country, I'm sure, we'll be showing up at your reunion in the Philly area. Okay, Margaret.
Yeah, okay.
We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, lots to talk about with Will Humble in our monthly visit with the former Arizona State Health Director, talking about, you know, what is the deal here? Are we now into a fourth wave of COVID? The case numbers have been going up. We'll get Will's opinion on what's going on with that. Also, we have on the show tomorrow Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Is it time to start charging people again to ride the bus? It's been free for a couple of years, and now there are all sorts of complaints about safety that have been coming in to SunTran. That's coming up on the show tomorrow. All right, on behalf of John on the other side of the glass, and me, Bill Buckmaster, inviting you to stick around. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money is next. Have a great afternoon.